The number one reason so many people struggle is because they say dumb shit like, well, I don't like TikTok. Who gives a fuck, Carl? Do you like money? You know, I think about so much stuff. I think that's really been the reason I've had the career I've had. I think it's the reason I was such an all-time bad student. I wasn't super interested in what was being talked about in the room. I was interested in observing, watching, trying to figure people out. I think when I go to something like this and I think about some people are doing this much in revenue, some people are doing that much, that's different. Some people are in B2B, some people are in B2C, that's different. Different industries, different points of your life. It's a complicated framework of people needing nuanced insights and observations to build. But there are always things that are universal. And the one thing that I'm completely convinced about for this room, myself included, is the variable of the things that you're up to, selfishly and selflessly, is 100% predicated on other human beings. Your relationship graph with your inner circle, the way you manage, the way you see the world, the way you actually think about the cliche things that people talk about, like culture and team and management, is a profound variable in success. And I think people think they can use tenacity and ambition and work ethic, and all those things are incredibly true. But as I kind of go into this chapter of my career and pay attention to what's worked for me, but way more importantly, because a focus group of one I think is very dangerous, when I look around, and I have a really epic position in the business world. Vayner Media and VaynerX, my core business, works with Fortune 500 businesses. I, as an investor and as a person, spend so much time in entrepreneurship and small business, and then whether it's Web3 or 2 or this, that, and the other thing. So I have my hands in a lot of stuff, and it is incredibly universal to me that the biggest vulnerability in this room is not being smart enough or being hungry enough, it's just actually not knowing how to dominate when it comes to people relationships. You know, I think most people that would be in a room like this, if you're here, you're doing shit. Let there be no confusion. If you're here, you're doing shit, right? You know, especially for somebody, if you're 24 hours into feeling like, oh, Carl's really crushing it or Susan's doing it, if you feel any level of like that, you're completely confused, because if you're here, you're doing it, right? The question is, how big is doing it? And what do you actually want? And I think the thing that I would really try to land first before I go into other subject matters is, you'd be stunned how much your personal upside is being capped if you aren't profoundly kind to the people that work for you. It is a very grandma statement. It's a very kind of like foofy kind of like, the world is kind, but it is profoundly impactful. And so I would bet the farm that many dozens of people in here are to their team. I would bet the farm on it. It is just the way the business world is. It's the way society is. And I beg for the people in here, as I'm going on this subject matter, if it gives you any thoughts or feelings, if you want it for you, I promise you that what's happening underneath you and how you're setting the tone and what you're doing is a huge impact on your zeros. This is not about entitlement and letting people get lazy and like silly non-results things. This is about building empires. This is about building big empires, but you would be stunned, I believe. And the reason this is an important subject matter is, I'm sure at this point, plenty of people have heard about the Great Resignation, right, because of COVID. The thing that I'm way more worried about as all of you go on your journey to build the things that you want to build is the great never applying in the first place. The amount of options 17, 19, 22-year-olds have going into the world, and they're aware of it, of how easy, that will be the word I use, it is to make $60,000 a year flipping on eBay, making content on TikTok, dabbling in NFT land. There are so many more options than what we grew up with if you're over 35 here, that it's profound and people are missing what's actually happening. And this is an absolute subject matter that I hope you take very seriously. If you are not focused on retention, people actually wanting to stay. If you are not focused on retention first, you will lose. And when I say lose, you'll still win, but you'll lose upside that you can't even see. And so that's one thing that I think is incredibly important to be thinking about. I think the other thing that's incredibly important that I spend so much of my career on that I think will get very tangible and work for a lot of people here is, look, if you write the greatest book of all time and nobody reads it, it's not the greatest book of all time. If you build the most beautiful home of all time and nobody ever saw it, it didn't happen. If you wrote the greatest song. So no matter what you do here, if you do not have a massive contemporary marketing plan going into 2023, you are leaving an enormous amount of opportunity on the table as well, comma, you're gonna lose market share because the speed in which things are happening right now is profound. I'm sure I don't have to explain to anybody here that they've seen somebody in their business gain a lot of steam in the last 36 months, whether it's been because of LinkedIn or YouTube or TikTok. It happens so fast. And just looking around the faces that are head nodding and seeing it, like you know this. So it's incredibly important, since we have time together on this day, that we nail this subject matter, which is, first and foremost, the number one thing as you think about how you're spending your money to make more money, AKA marketing, you have to take your personal opinions off the table. The number one reason so many people struggle is because they say dumb shit like, well, I don't like TikTok. Who gives a f-, Carl, do you like money? This is the profoundly most fundamentally silly thing that I hear every day of my life. Gary, I don't get YouTube, but trillions of people do. I don't like it. You probably don't like a lot of things you do every day. If you're here, my favorite thing about a group here is that you eat a lot of shit every day to make it happen. There's plenty of things you don't like. This is not about what you like or what your opinion is of a platform or you don't like technology. I mean, some people try to go so lofty with me. Gary, I'm not doing it because it's bad for the kids, right? Like, or they go political. It's like looking for any excuse not to put in the work to something they don't understand yet. And so for me, when I look at the landscape of what's happening in the world, the speed in which attention is shifting is profound. Facebook and Google, Twitter, and YouTube, TikTok, these things are moving so fast. You know it. You know, TikTok came out of nowhere for most of you in the last 24 months. Elon bought Twitter yesterday. This stuff is just moving. It's moving and it's moving fast. And you have to understand that even more importantly than balancing your checkbook is your ability to understand where your customer's attention is and how to make pictures, videos, the written word, audio, to get in front of them and do business. And for a lot of people that are winning, the quickest way they lose market share is by being outflanked by competitors doing contemporary work when they got cozy because they were winning. The other thing that's extremely dangerous is, for a lot of you, how many people here do marketing in their company? Just raise your hands. Hi. Don't be scared. Hi.
Yeah.
So for the people that raise their hands, the other thing is, if you raise it and it's working or you got here because of it, a lot of people fall in love with the tactic that got them here, which is usually the same mindset that starts the decline. Like, you're still holding, like, you made fun of people for doing mail when you did email, but now you're holding on to email like they were holding on to mail. So that happens all the time at this size and scale of businesses. So I highly recommend to really take a step back and ask yourself, is the stuff that got me here not doing as well, but because I know it and it's like clockwork, are we still doing it? And why have I lost the curiosity or the interest to put in the work to understand the new thing? Because right now, what's happening on LinkedIn and TikTok from a post and get awareness, from run ads and get sales standpoint, is staggering. Tremendous opportunity. How many people B2B? Raise your hands, B2B. I mean, you've gotta be putting out 2, 3, 4 pieces of content on LinkedIn a day. Most people are posting once a month, if. 2 to 3, 4 a day to maximize upside. Again, I always tread lightly because what I'm always trying to figure out is, Are people's actions matching their ambitions? Right? There's gonna be a lot of talk amongst this group this week, right? What you're gonna do. But I'm always curious about, do people back up what they're gonna do? And I find it fascinating that marketing is the place that most people struggle with because they're just tired of learning new stuff, which seems crazy when you talk about what you're gonna do or what you're gonna build or how you're gonna go about it. And things change. I mean, and it changes so fast. Let me give you an insight that is brand new in the last week or two for me. Facebook is now doing extremely well again because everybody left from a marketing standpoint and went to Instagram. And yes, 35, 40, 42-year-olds are not going 13 times a day to their Facebook, but they're still going once a week. And the supply and demand of attention and advertising and content just shifted. And now it's working at a level it hasn't worked at for 3 to 4 years. That's how much it's changing. Things are about LinkedIn, as everybody knows here, wasn't a content play. It was a tool to hire people. It turned into a social network, a content play. So that's probably like where I'm mentally at right now, which is 99% of shit doesn't matter. Most people dwell on that 99%. And the two things that are consistently mattering for the last 20 years, and I think they're only gonna compound for the next 20 years, which is more than enough time to keep all of us busy, is what is our relationship graph with our employees and our vendors and our customers, and what is our actual intent as a human being with them, comma, do we understand what's happening in the market this exact second, where the attention actually is? That's it. That's how I navigate, that's the clarity, it's super simple. From a strategy standpoint, it's incredibly difficult. From an emotional standpoint, if you're not wired to be that kind of manager, and it's very hard to put in the hours of work to get great at the marketing side. So the framework, the blueprint, the thesis, it's real simple. The execution, super hard. Really requires a conversation that I think I wanna have with all of us around self-awareness of oneself. You know, I've had that conversation about treating employees a certain way with my dad for, oh, I don't know, 34 years. He's self-aware of where he's at. He just can't get there. He was born in the Soviet Union. Everybody stole because it was communism. And he just thinks everyone's stealing from him at all times and he can't shake it. And when you come from a place of fear, you're not gonna be nice. And so he just tries to stay away from people. like his business grows when he's staying away. Like, that's called self-awareness. He like locks himself in the office and makes pretend bad is going on downstairs, drives himself crazy for 12 hours and goes home. That's my dad's life. That's where he's at. But really, this is a really interesting, like that little whole thing is super interesting. From 34 years of conversation with my dad, for the last decade, he's gotten to that place because it's black and white to him of what happens. And he's self-aware enough, and he's put in some work, but he just can't get there, and he's made a strategic decision. And he ebbs and flows. Sometimes he'll go a full year raising terror throughout the entire wine store because he just needs that outlet, but he knows his bottom line gets hurt. And like, it's the craziest, weirdest game I've ever seen. He gets crazy, does his thing, sales go down, business goes down, he gets scared, he goes back upstairs for 2 years, it gets a little bit better, it gets better, then he wants to come back and start ravaging on people, he does that. I mean, I literally went to the store the other day for the first time in 9 months, told him I was coming. He's not there, which is stunning. We have the greatest relationship. I knew he would want to be there. I call him, he sounds so upset. I'm like, Dad, where are you? I mean, I already knew shit was going down. I was like, Dad, where are you? He's like, I'm home. My dad missed an opportunity for us to jam together because an employee had an Apple EarPod in his ear. And the rule is you can't wear it and they're not listening. So he was so upset he had to go home. The reason I'm telling this story is not to tell my dad, I love him more than anything. It's that I'm so impressed by my dad that he's been able to deploy enough self-awareness to understand what the impact is around culture. And even though it's against every ounce of his soul, he's found ways to make his business work. This today is about business. You can do it however you want to do it. When I start this conversation with the first 10 minutes around culture and how you treat people, I'm not joking about what I said. I know a lot of people struggle with that here. They don't work hard enough to your standards. They shouldn't. They don't make as much money as you do. Like, if you, like, people email me all the time, how do I get my employees to work as hard as me? I'm like, help them start their own business. I appreciate that. These are the important conversations. Because when you win this, when you figure out how to build an actual team, you can scale. I could do a lot of things, but you can only do so much. So many of you are carrying way too much stuff because you're not building teams. You're a micromanager, you're insecure, you're not building up retention. You can't create scale. It's only people. It's people. And so that's a huge combo. And then the second part, and then Thaddeus, I think we should get up here and do some Q&A. The second part is something we really need to spend time on while I'm still here. If you do not have a contemporary marketing plan, you are losing market share, you are losing growth. If you don't have people around you that want to be there and you're constantly having to retrain and find different people, you're losing growth. The blueprint's simple, the execution's hard, so why don't we do a bunch of Q&A around that. I'm really, really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about your dad, because we get so hung up on that little shit that doesn't matter, right, the ear pods. What do you do to block out that noise to make sure that you're focusing on the things that actually matter?
You know, for me, it's a little weird. Since I was like 6 years old, I would like roll up on grandparents at the schoolyard when my friends' grandparents would come and would literally sit like this and just ask them questions. I just was always into wisdom, old school stuff. This is such a weird answer. My answer, if you're, this is super important, because if you lie to yourself, you've already lost. If you're sitting here and uncomfortable about this combo because you know you are a yeller, you're an underminer, you're political, you've got a little poison in you, when you get upset, you lose your cool, you need to really take a step back and like have this combo with yourself, because that's the thing that's stopping you from doubling. And there's a way to win. The reason I use my dad, I don't want to do that. That's like, I don't want to razz dad. That's so extreme what he does, because he's off the chain on being frustrated and crazy with his employees. So I'll give you a wild answer. I think every person here should go and donate a day at a retirement home. I'm being dead serious. I think that I have a real hack for you. I think if you're struggling with perspective and figuring out what the f*** we're all doing here, go to a retirement home and donate your time and spend one day. You'll feel great. There'll be some, you won't do many things that will make you feel better. And very quickly, on a Saturday or a Friday, in 6 or 7 hours, you will stop complaining about dumb shit. You will also start doing new shit, because you will become petrified with the concept of regret. If you spend time in a retirement home, you will find out the word regret will populate to your brain in a way that it hasn't up until this point. You will realize all the things you're scared about doing right now because you're worried about somebody's opinion about it, you will start doing, because when you see regret in somebody's eyes who's alive, who can't do shit about it anymore, it's tough. And so for me, it's just perspective. I always say things, you know, for me, knock on wood, my life is more about the big wins. For me, it's more about staying calm when the great stuff is happening. For me, it's always when the great stuff is happening, I always make pretend that I lost a parent. It's my go-to. Like, today's a big day and we made lots of money, or got the big account, or I'm on the cover of a magazine, or I'm the guy, or this and that.
I'm assuming that you still are human, and that you have those moments where you feel yourself starting to go into that.
I'm human.
That headspace.
I'm human, but I am, this is, for the people that really know my content, well, who here consumes a good amount of my content, or has context? So for thank you. So for those people, this might surprise you unless you're really looking under the nuances. I'm completely detached from my professional success. Like, utterly detached.
So what drives you?
A level of gratitude and guilt that I have such a natural talent to communicate and execute, that I can have a profound impact, and I feel a sense of obligation to kind of leave it on the field.
To not waste it.
Yeah, it's kind of a curiosity of like, how good can I do it? You know? Like, it's like, what, Again, for the people that raise their hands and for the people that don't know me well, like, my big thesis is you have to cut out the noise, all of it, especially the positive noise. When everybody tells you you're great and you're awesome, you become addicted to that. Now you're completely vulnerable to the negativity. The reason I'm so out there on social is because it's hard to be so out there on social. Most people can't deal with the heat. They don't like when somebody says they're ugly or stupid or full of or a scam artist, or they suck, or they're overrated. People don't like that. I don't care, not because I'm so cool, it's because that person doesn't know me. How can I possibly be upset when Sally Pants 47 is having a bad day? Sally Pants 47's having a bad day and decides to take it out on me because I look too happy. I'm not mad at hate, I'm compassionate to hate. But at the same token, knock on wood for me, 90% of my comments are just little goat emojis. and that requires even more tune out. Because when you get high on your own supply, it's a wrap.
So let's switch a little, I love that. I'm gonna switch a little bit more to the, I think it's more granular stuff.
Please.
Crypto, yes. Blockchain, metaverse,
yes.
NFTs.
Yes.
What should we know?
That you should put 100 hours of homework into it because it will completely engulf the rest of your life. Let's start with that. So now, the people that were most excited right now, I still think 99% of the shit going on right now is going to zero. So this is about the macro. This is Internet 97. This is really good. If you're over 45, you should not be confused of what's going on at all, though most are. You already lived through the internet when nobody understood how profound it was gonna be. If you're over 45, that means you lived all the way through high school without the internet, and then the internet came and you watched the world completely change. If you're over 45 in this room, you remember when online dating was the weirdest taboo in the world.
That's where all the creepers were.
Right, and now it is the most normalized thing. You know, people told me at nausea when I launched winelibrary.com that nobody would ever buy wine on the internet. I had real business people, millionaires, telling me nobody will ever buy wine on the internet. My response as a 20-year-old kid was, people are gonna buy everything on the internet.
How did you know that?
Because I understand people.
And has that always been?
Yeah, I just had, yeah, which is why, back to not being high, like, what did I do? My parents had sex at the right second. I'm being serious. Like, when you have a, when your currency is such off the charts intuition about what people are gonna do that they can't see it themselves and you can,
yeah.
That's obviously, as you can imagine, a very big money-making proposition. If you know everyone's gonna be on social media when in 2005, and again, for the crowd that's here, like, a lot of people remember, the majority of this room in 2007, when they first heard about Twitter, thought it was the stupidest thing of all time. I lived it, I watched it, I had those 100,000 conversations. Who cares if you're eating a pizza? And my brain would always say, everyone.
what are your thoughts on Elon taking over Twitter? Not taking over.
It's gonna be really, really, really interesting. I think he's gonna operate, you know, or put an operator in. Twitter has not evolved a whole lot from its core product from 2007. I'm less worried about, like, the freedom of speech thing, this and that. Like, I just think humanity finds its way in the end. You have to be careful and thoughtful and, you know, all that. That's what's gonna get all the headlines. Who's gonna, like, is Trump gonna get reinstated? Is not, like, all that stuff will take the headlines. I'm more curious of, is he gonna build a subscription product so that people can make a lot of dollars through that? Is there gonna be more virality? TikTok's dominating because when you put out good content, you get unlimited virality. Twitter doesn't have that per se at the same scale. So, you know, long form video. So I'm curious more about just like a pure business sense of like what's gonna happen there. So that's where I'm at with that. But I think, you know, with crypto, you have to understand that the blockchain is the biggest technology change and new invention since the internet. The reason most people are confused about the blockchain is they bring their internet rationale to the blockchain the way that we all brought our normal life rationale into the internet. Why would anybody buy wine on the internet is what everyone said. The answer was because it's convenient. Right? The reason everybody in here is going to interact with the blockchain is because for many things in the world, it's better than the internet. The joke about NFTs, oh, I can just right click and save. You're right, on the internet, you can't own shit. That's not how it works. On the blockchain, it's a ledger. That's the whole point of it. And so people are making headline reading assumptions. People talk, you know, do you know how many people here have had conversations about the blockchain, NFTs, and crypto over dinner and have no idea what the f*** they're actually talking about? I know this because I used to do it in my 20s around healthcare or world events or other s***. When I started actually learning heavy about wine, and then when I felt confident about business and marketing, I just stopped talking about other s*** with at least with the level of like I know. When I get into a dinner table and they're talking about healthcare, I'm like, if I have an opinion, I'm gonna hedge the shit out of it. I'm like, hey, from somebody that doesn't know my thought is, but that's not how we talk now. We're at the most extreme version of that now with social. People out here pontificating about shit that they have no idea about. That's like the cool thing to do, which is why everyone's on tilt.
So let's fast forward.
Back in the 90s, kids, people that didn't know shit kept their mouth shut.
So let's fast forward, let's say 5, maybe 10, or whatever time frame you want to give in Gary's mind's eye, paint that picture of the world we're living in for the blockchain, how our lives will look.
I think the thing that so the metaverse is still far away. You know, people are all about the metaverse, because it's exciting for people that dream that way, or it's scary for people that are scared by it, so it's a hot topic. But we don't have 10 million people spending 2 hours a day in goggles or in headsets yet, so we're still far away, but the technology's getting closer every day, so it's looming. So I don't overly spend too much time on the metaverse. I've spent tens of millions of dollars buying NFTs. I've bought zero land in metaverse, so my actions back up my thought. I think it can happen. I just think that you have to be careful, because when you don't get timing right, you lose. And I spend a lot of time on timing. NFTs, on the other hand, I've been watching since 2017 when I saw CryptoKitties. I'm like, there's something here. I didn't fully understand it. I put it on a shelf, kind of kept my ear. NBA Top Shot came out 2 years ago, and I was like, wait a minute, this is starting to look like what I thought back then. I did some homework, and I saw that Ethereum was really now starting to get ready, and that's why 2021 I went hard, because the timing was right, and I was right, it was the time. The reason I like NFTs is the same reason I like Nikes and Birka and all the clothes and bags and shoes that everyone's wearing. NFTs are a form of communication. The number one way that people communicate in the world is through the things they buy. There's a reason people buy Rolexes. There's a reason that people buy BMWs. There's a reason you buy a fancy trip and then take 800 photos and put it all over. There's a reason handbags can sell for $20,000. It's called communication. Nobody posts their wealth by taking a balance photo in their Wells Fargo and post it on social media. But billions of people share indicators to their wealth or their interests or their points of view on the world. Nothing does that more than what you buy. Nothing is gonna scale. NFTs will scale greater than social media pictures on our communication with each other, which is why it caught my attention, which is why I wanted to learn it. So I'm spending a ton of time trying to figure out NFTs. The thing it has that's different than fashion is it's a contract and a utility. In 3 weeks, I'm gonna be in Minnesota at US Bank Stadium where the Vikings play football, and there'll be 9,000 people there who all bought an NFT from me a year ago, because that means they have access to that conference, because the NFT is also a ticket. They're also gonna go to the next two. And so the utility on the back end, every ticket to every sporting event, NFT. Every receipt to a high-end item in 15 years, NFT. My plane ticket down here by Delta to Puerto Rico, 10 years, NFT. Because it's gonna make sense the way buying wine on the internet made sense. For Delta, if they wanna have a corporate initiative and maybe, let's say, have an underprivileged artist from Ukraine design this month's plane tickets, as instead of just a QR code, it's now a collectible piece of art. It's not gonna be the crazy Wild Wild West we have now where everything's thousands of dollars. It might just be worth $3. But
like that's, baseball cards or
yeah, that's right. Like baseball cards or stamps or Beanie Babies. And Beanie Babies is a good comp because that was an artificial market built on overhype. And that's what's happening with individual NFT projects. But when people are like, this is Beanie Babies, I'm like, you're confused. This is stuffed animals. There are Beanie Babies within it.
Yeah.
Got it? This is a complete genre. And so the NFT, what's gonna happen is, just like internet stocks, again, I'm pointing to a lot, because I see the faces, a lot of over 40-year-olds, if you remember, I know we were kids at the time, but you know, I was into business more than, let's say, most teenagers, but all the internet stocks crashed hard in 2000. And all the articles in the Wall Street Journal and you know, the big magazines of the people, they all wrote articles, say the internet was a fad. Because they got confused. They called the internet based on stock price, not based on the technology. No question in my mind, in the next 24 months, the majority of NFT projects that are worth a lot of money right now are going to zero. Because the supply and demand doesn't make sense. And there'll be unlimited articles. I'm probably gonna have to have a month of defending myself, even though I've made a million videos like this. And everyone's gonna see NFTs were stupid, we told you, and then that's when the action's gonna really start, because the technology's undeniable.
So you think we might see this, we're in this crescendo, it's gonna fall and then it'll kind of grind,
yeah.
Or then have a second.
So to make this valuable for everybody, for your small business, your big business, your consumer, this isn't about going out and buying NFTs, this is about going out and buying an NFT for $50 just to go through the experience, because you probably recall yourself or your parents or your grandparents not willing to do email in 2000, not willing to get an iPhone. Some of you in here said you'd never give up your BlackBerry because you needed those buttons. All of you have iPhones. So right now, a lot of you are like, this is stupid, I don't get it, whatever. You can't. You can't. It's gonna eat up the world over the next decade. Like, unless you plan on wrapping it up in the next 10 years, you just can't. So the quicker you start getting educated, making yourself uncomfortable, learning, making mistakes, figuring it out. Because once you start understanding it, then you might be able to use it for offense. Because right now it's defense as a thesis.
I've heard you talk about... We're going to open up for live Q&A in just a second, so if you can get the microphones ready. So I know that I know I've heard you talk a lot about, well, I know, like you said, from, you know, switching it to email. When you said that, I was thinking of my mom, because she was in school, and they said, oh, we're going to email, and she's like, why the heck would we use email? I can just walk down to the other classroom and just, you know, give, you know, teacher so-and-so a message. I know I've heard you say you're bullish on
TikTok. Do you know, I apologize, do you know that when Canvas came out, all the artists said that wasn't real art, that if you didn't put it on buildings, it wasn't real art? You should go read what they said about the television. Like, we always demonize new technology. Humans are incredible at romanticizing yesterday and demonizing today. So I get it. Go ahead.
So I know you're bullish on TikTok.
Very much.
What are you most bullish on in terms of if someone had to pick one form of communication, marketing channel, et cetera?
This is why Q&A is so fun, because it's a game of self-awareness. If, for example, if you're incredibly insecure of your visual appearance, you can't do video. It's a mental block, right? So now you might have to do audio, which all of a sudden becomes, should you do Twitter and do audio posts and post there, right? Like, for example, even though I'm a 5 or 6 time New York Times best-selling author, I can't put 2 sentences together. That's why I have to record all my books. I love when people come to when I do books and I have book signings, they're like, man, the book sounds just like you, and I'm always laughing. I'm like, because I recorded it. And somebody put it into sentence form, you know. So for me, I'm not gonna go to LinkedIn and write 4 paragraphs over, you know, while I have a cigar or a glass of wine or on the treadmill, like we're walking, you know. But for me, as many of you know, video comes very natural. So I think first, you have to know yourself of what format allows you to communicate. For a lot of people here, being an independent, a little scary. Maybe having a sidekick or a friend, now all of a sudden you got a podcast, right? So you have to know yourself first. After that, to be very frank, if you actually know how they all work, they can all be great. You can dominate on Twitter. You can dominate, maybe you're a great host or hostess. All of a sudden, maybe it's a Facebook group that you should be building, right? So there's a lot of ways to win. Now, there are always moments of time where there's so much attention on a platform that if you post, you get more organic reach without paying. Everybody always gets mad at the algorithms. That's just supply and demand. You weren't there early enough. Instagram me, it's free. I get like 1 billion DMs from influencers. Gary, Instagram me. I'm like, it was free. You made millions. It was free. So algorithms change not because you're a conservative, it's because they're running a business, and more content means less, and less consumption means supply and demand. More kids went from Instagram to TikTok. More people are posting to Instagram than they did 2 years ago. What do you think is gonna happen? Of course your video is not gonna get 100,000 views anymore. It's gonna get 40,000. It's called supply and demand of attention. That's what I trade. That has been the foundation of my career. I had email newsletter in the 90s that had 95% open rates. I bought every wine term in the world on Google AdWords the day Google AdWords started. I started a YouTube show, long form, was one of the first 5 humans on earth to do it. I was one of the first 30 people to have 1 million followers on Twitter. Like, this is my career. And so I understand it. And so the answer is figure out your form of communication. If you're capable of doing TikTok, you go all in. And TikTok is not, you know, 3 years ago, I'm like, TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. And everyone's like, it's 14-year-old girls dancing. I'm like, for now. Facebook used to be just college kids. Now it's just grandmas. It changes. It changes. It evolves. And so
I'm on Facebook quite a bit.
No worries, but me too. Listen, I just got done saying it's my favorite platform right now because, like, no emotion, complete detachment. Like, complete detachment. It's just whatever the market wants. And so many people make judgments subjectively in their mind about things, and it's a mistake.
Let's open for some Q&A. Sean, right here.
Sean.
Hey, Sean.
This is actually a two-part question for both of y'all. Same question that both of y'all will answer, if you will. Gary Vee, I was not that familiar with you until I was actually introduced to you by Angela. But how do you stay grounded by detaching yourself from the success that you've acquired over how much time? So this is for both of y'all.
Yeah, for me, it's just like, at the end of the day, who cares if I'm good at making money? Like, really? Like, really? Because my mom instilled really good human traits in me. And the concept of trying to make somebody else feel insecure in my presence, because I'm just not insecure. That's why I'm a man. Just not insecure. You know, and if you're not insecure, then you have no interest in flexing.
I think for me to stay grounded, I do two things. One is, if I just have one person that says, thank you, that was awesome, you helped me, whatever, that, like, I'll take as many arrows in my back as people will throw at me. If I know that it's helping that one person, that's one thing. And then also, too, my baseline is extremely low. And what I mean by that is I could lose everything, and I could have a tent, and I would be fine, as long as I have my health, my dad lived in a tent, raising her, you know, on a homestead. So like, I've been there. So my baseline is so low. I could lose everything, and it'd suck, but it doesn't matter.
It's such an interesting point. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about how much happens in the first 5 years of your life, right? Just getting formed in that little brain. And it's funny what you just said. My obsession lately is, if you're lucky enough to be born with little. No money, but have a happy home, you're f***ing unbeatable. Yeah. If you're taught early on that money isn't happiness, because if you're born with a lot of money and there's happiness, you're subconsciously believing that's the driver, right? If you're born into no money and there's a lot of unhappiness in the home, you believe that money will get you out of that. But when you're lucky enough to not have anything and have happiness in the home, you're moonwalking.
First, I want to say thank you. Changed my life 5 years ago. Self-awareness, curiosity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Me and my partner, Jeremy, have a position in a publishing company because we still believe in the foundation of identity in books.
Okay.
A lot of people said books are finished, right? Will you tell us what you've learned from books, NFTs, communities, and building culture that everyone in this room should learn?
As you guys probably know, like, I was so out in front of all the new tech stuff back in the day, and then I kept writing books, and I would get such, you know, the first book came out, I got so pounded, like, what the f***, like, you know, social media, the future, technology, why are you writing a book? And I was like, because people read them. You know, to me, I always laugh when people are like, this is dead. I'm like, okay, could be, but like, right now, currently, it might be declining slowly. Everybody thinks everything's gonna happen so fast, you know, like, I built an entire marketing big company. We almost have 2,000 people now. Vayner's a monster. on the thesis that network television commercials were garbage. It's just now happening, right? Because of streaming, right? And so, you know, what I've learned is that when you are doing things for them and not yourself, you'll make much better decisions. And whether it's books or NFTs or photography or anything else, for every person in here, similar to the way I want you to think about your employees, if you think about your customers from the standpoint of why is it good for them versus what I see for most people, which is why is this good for me, you'll just get a lot more for you.
Question over here.
Thank you, Gary.
Pick one, Gary.
Anybody.
Is that Dave?
Hey, Dave. About blockchain, the biggest thing about blockchain that gets me excited is the corrupt central governments, or central banks and all that.
Yeah.
CBDCs, that is not the same thing, and I'm really concerned about the sheep will say, oh, I'm just going to go with the government. It's not the same thing. Would you speak to CBDCs?
Brother, we live in a world where the governments aren't going to give it up, my man.
Nope.
You know, so, you know, I don't like to really, I don't overly get excited about things I can't control. You know, when, you know, I remember having really deep discussions in 2014, 15, 16 about Bitcoin. And I liked Bitcoin a lot and bought it and thought it was cool and was interested. But I would always tell my friend, you know, maybe because I was born in the USSR, I always had, you know, I think Americans are incredibly good at being naive, you know, and so I just, you know, I just would always say, I'm like, what you're saying, like, you do understand that China, Russia, and America have no interest in a single thing you said and will go down fighting till the end. And so, you know, governments are going to get very involved in crypto. I, per se, am not passionate about cryptocurrency at all, meaning it's profound and fascinating. I know a lot of people here are really into it. Like, for me, the NFT thing's much more interesting because I think about consumables, consumer behavior. I like collectibles. I like, you know, content. I like community. I like, so for me, to me, it's already written. Where are you going? The only thing that's going to happen is what we're seeing happen. Third and fourth world countries, as a means to build themselves up economically, will start to do things. I think it's incredibly appropriate that we're in Puerto Rico. Look at what's happened here. You put out infrastructure and rules that attract entrepreneurs. What do you think America was a long time ago? It was a place where people left Europe that had different rules and they went and did crazy ass wild, wild west. Where do you think that comes from? The gold rush. What do you think that is? That's people living on the east side of America going, knowing nothing and trying to make it. The human spirit will never be stopped. What do you think space exploration is? But where I think people get caught up is they want to fight battles that are a complete waste of energy. Us pontificating that, I don't want you to do this, America. That's nice. You know, and so I don't get theoretical about this. They're all gonna do it. China's already done it. Russia's already done it. America's gonna do it in its cute way. Europe's gonna do it in a less obvious cute way. And then people are gonna move to weird places around the world.
I think that's something
that are completely obsessed with conspiracy theories or money.
I think that's the thing I really admire about you, Gary, is that you, rather than fight the way things are, you're able to see that and you're able to see around corners and you're able to anticipate what's coming next and just put yourself there. It's like you're skating to the
point. I'm also in a very, this is very important. You have to ask yourself what your relationship is with money. It's imperative. So much of my luck is because I don't like it enough. All my friends are like, all my friends have, like, I have so many friends that have moved to Puerto Rico and Miami and Texas. It's like, out of control, right? And they love to like razz me. They're like, you're not only are you in New York, you're in New York City, you're paying city tax. Like they'll go on a whole 13, and I make real money. That's real money. And they'll like go on a 13 minute rant. And then I'm like, I don't care. And they're just like baffled. I'm like, I like New York. I need the action. I don't want to live in LA or Miami or Puerto Rico or Ecuador. I want to live in Manhattan. And so like, but for other people, they love money. And guess what? Zero judgment. Who the f- am I? F- me, I don't care. If they want to move from LA to Austin, Texas, knock yourself out. If you want to move from Connecticut to on the outskirts of Miami, have a ball.
The thing that I love is my mom has no idea who Gary is.
My favorite thing is that 7 billion people have no idea who the fuck I am. This is what drives me crazy. Somebody gets like 8 followers on TikTok, they're like, what's the fuck matter with you? I'm really glad that you're the lollipop guy on TikTok. Now sit the fuck down and calm down. I don't understand people. My man.
If you're going,
say your name.
Sam.
Sometimes.
If you were a high schooler going into the job market today, what industry would you go into? Whether it's crypto, real estate, etc.
Is that predicated on you trying to maximize your financial impact? Like, I would go into something that wouldn't bore me. You know what I mean? Like, the question's framed in a way of like, there's a really fun question I get from you characters, which is like the people I love the most, like the youngsters. To me, that's a really tough question because it's always framed in the way you just did it, which is binarily based on where is their financial opportunity. Meanwhile, I'm 46 now, and for the last 20 years, I've been nothing but around people who do real estate and Wall Street in Manhattan and want to jump out windows because they hate it so much, and they literally, the only reason they do it is to make $697,000 a year to buy cars and clothes to cover up their pain. So I have no interest in telling you to do that. You should be like his mom and go to Oregon and not have electricity if that makes you happy. You know what I mean? Like right now it makes sense, especially if you're here, you're like, you know what I was thinking when I was exactly your age? At this point, I'm like, I'm gonna buy the Jets, I'm gonna be the best businessman of all time. But that was in me. Yeah. That was in me. I was a DNF student. I'm 46. In the 80s and 90s, all this was not cool. It was go to Harvard or you suck. Right? And so for me, I was fighting the system back then. My fear is now the reverse. You might wanna be a professor. I don't know. Like, to me, there's plenty of things that have money in it. Do you like it? Do you wanna sell a house?
Well, you're kind of doing some drone stuff, and
yeah, I mean, right away, like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, definitely don't do real estate, right? Right? Like, and by the way, all of our vibes right now is envy. Do you know how many people are sitting here that hate what they do? I would give up everything to be you. Because time is the only interesting asset. So, you know, I think you two are so lucky that you live in a world where there's alternative information. We, if we're older here, grew up, there was one track. When I hear drumming, like if you love music, you need to spend the next 15 years trying to make it in music before you go and become practical. How old are you?
16.
Right. So for the next 16 years of your life, from the second you came to this earth to right this second, has been 16 years. If you try to do something in music for the next 16 years, you'd be 32 when that journey was over, which is still ridiculously young enough to get a practical job in real estate. That.
So we're gonna do some, we'll do a rapid fire here. So you can keep these as long as or short as you can, we'll get through as many as we can. Who's putting out healthy messages, and not just physical health, but just messages that you resonate, you like, that you follow and enjoy?
I don't follow anybody, because I follow everybody. That's true. I don't, you know, I don't say that like I'm cool. I say it because I spend almost all of my time when I consume anything, trying to understand what everybody is consuming.
So you're watching it from a different place. From a different perspective. You're not actually
my consumption. My consumption and content is New York Jets football. From a visual standpoint, the occasional documentary, and then predominantly reading my DMs, looking at what's trending, going into forums and social to understand what people are paying attention to.
Favorite movie? Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
I like that. I like that movie. Favorite movie for me is probably Star Wars. I think Star Wars is one of the most interesting pieces of content ever made, because I think it goes to the crux of something that we're dealing with actually right now. I would argue that Star Wars has helped me through the last 7 or 8 years of political tension in our society, because Star Wars' basic principle is that humans good is just slightly better than humans bad. That Jedis are just enough better than the dark side. And so I've always loved the real like simplicity of the macro message of that film. Plus I saw it when we first came to America. It was just a very emotional, like American thing for me when I first got here.
What habits do you need to change about yourself that you want to change?
It's funny, I tend not to be vulnerable in my content because I'm like, people got their own to worry about. But
you won't worry about it.
I in my last book, I went into it, 12 and a half. I want to be more candorous, which blows people's mind, because as a public figure on, in this format, I'm candorous as f-. In real life, I'm incredibly non-confrontational, and I hate hurting people's feelings, and so
you start being a jerk, is what you're saying.
No, I actually really broke it down heavy. I created this concept called kind candor in my own mind, and it completely changed the way I've operated as a human being. I'm still on my journey, but I am light years ahead of where I was 4 years ago, and I want to continue, because it's really been obvious that when I look back at my life, everything that has not gone well for me with employees, relationships, like the things I care about, has been 100% predicated on my inability to be candorous when the other person wasn't doing their thing. And then eventually I so misplayed it that it became my issue instead of what it started as. And it's really changed me, and I really want to continue to double down on it.
How should people hedge inflation and all, everything that's going on?
By saving money. I'm very surprised by how many people are not willing to have an actual nest egg. Like, even though I'm all in on crypto and all this other stuff, there'll never be a day of my life where I don't have $1 million in cash buried somewhere. Ever. It will never happen.
Mom, do we still have that coffee can?
Yeah, and that's the culture I grew up in. Like, I make a joke, like in Russia, because nobody was actually allowed to have money, when they had money, because everything was black market, they would actually bury it in the backyard. And so like even when I was like 15, I think my parents have cash in the ground outside. And so I really think for a lot of you, I know people want to invest and want to be thoughtful with your money, but like, it's just a good idea to have something. Like, and the way I play it is, I need to have something that if everything goes to zero, I can do something with that. Something over my head, start my next gig, whatever that is. So that's why that number's gotten bigger over time. It was $100,000 for 1 million years, because I'm also tent life. But now I'm kind of like, well, I'll still want to play, and if everything goes to shit like that, then $1 million is probably profound money at that point. And so I think everybody should have savings. I think it's a good idea.
Who would be someone that you have interviewed or talked to yet that you'd love to talk to? What would you ask them?
I don't really have those kind of feelings either.
Okay.
That's not my framework. I would tell you that, you know,
anyone that you find interesting that you'd like to extract?
I think everyone's interesting. I mean that. Like I'm far more interested with your mom's Oregon stuff than, let's say, like Bill Gates. That's much more interesting to me. I'm very interested in people, which is so much of my foundation. So I don't have like aspirations to like sit down and talk to somebody. I have aspirations to take advantage of when I stumble upon somebody at the airport or on a train, when I have time, or spending time with my team, getting to know them better. I do, you know, I lost both of my grandfathers before I got to know them. I have a lot of interest in, you know, hope. You know, I have some real hopes and dreams. I actually have no expectations of anybody or anything, which is why I'm always happy, but I have real expectations about heaven. I've got some big hopes and dreams for heaven. There's two core things I'm really hoping about heaven. One, that everyone's there and I can have some real talks. I got a lot of questions from the people that are not around anymore. And two, which is really cool, I think you're gonna like this. I think that heaven has some weird version of Google. Where this is like, I dream about this, where you go up there and you can type in anything and heaven will show you what would have happened. For example, first thing I'm doing when I get to heaven, first query, heaven, show me the time I came closest to dying without knowing it. Enter. And I have these two core scenarios. One, if I would have eaten that peanut, I would have choked on it and died. Or two, my favorite one, the time I forgot my keys in the house, ran out, forgot, ran back in and grabbed them, but had I grabbed them, I would have got hit by a bus and died. So I've got big hopes for heaven. I'm gonna be super pissed if it's not there. And so I'm excited about that.
Final question, if someone, you see people that they buy the shoes, the watches, the Starbucks, but they're not willing to invest in themselves and they say, think, oh my gosh, poor, woe is me. How do you get people to shift from the consumption to investing in themselves?
I have so many friends that like nice things, they always get mad at me because I put out a lot of content about this and I don't do a good enough job, so I'm gonna try to be better about it. The reason I talk about buying things is because if you really know, if like you grew up for 25 years, 40 years, like reading car books and going to it, and it was your grandfather saying, like it makes all the sense in the world when you get to financial memes that you want a Lamborghini. What I'm worried about, no different than buying an NFT or anything else, are the people who are buying it to disguise the actual truth. They're using it as a proxy for their insecurity. It's how I'm gonna get the girl because I'm insecure. It's how people are gonna think I'm successful because they don't. It's all that stuff. I get worried about that because I know that's not a sustainable model for happiness, and I talk about that. You know, investing in yourself comes in a lot of forms. You know, it's one thing to say, don't buy a Starbucks for $8 or don't buy a Lamborghini or Rolex and put it into a content, a mastermind, like things to better yourself. My personal belief is better yourself is a simple game of this. I actually think most people need to downsize and simplify at scale. Maybe not as crazy as what your parents did, but but that was an extreme version that actually has a ton of merit.
Well, they left LA.
Yeah,
think
about the time we were in America that led to a lot of that kind of behavior. And I actually think there's a lot of truth in it. Like, it's so funny because I'm so into business, I'm into all this other stuff that I love, so it's not obvious what's actually happening in my wiring, but I just want more simplicity for people. The more simplicity you have, and for me, simplicity comes in the form of judgment. The thing that I'm trying to think as much about as possible is how do I have a conversation that might impact someone positively about the concept of judgment. And it actually starts with yourself. The thing that I'm really hot on right now is, of course, so many people are judging each other. They start with themselves. I just wish people wouldn't beat themselves up so much. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, but Gary, you don't get it. I'm so ambitious. I'm like, I'm the craziest ambitious person I've ever met in my life. That doesn't mean that if I don't win this year or this decade that I think I'm a piece of shit. That's not healthy. And I definitely don't have envy. Envy is a framework of conversation that has to be eliminated. How can you envy someone when you don't know them? You know a piece of them. You know a headline of them. You might like something that's going on with them. How can you actually envy somebody that you know nothing about? We just have to simplify. Simplify, but like, for me, it's so simple to be content and hungry as at the same time. I've come to know that that's confusing and sounds like a contradiction, but I have to continue to unpack it because in that is everything. It's the whole game. When you like want it more, like I want to be the greatest human that ever lived. I genuinely swear on my children's health as I sit in front of you here right now that when I die in 55 years, when I'm in heaven doing my Google, I'm gonna look down and I'm like, okay, good. 7 billion people came to my funeral. That's how I wake up every day trying to navigate my life. At the same token, if it all ended tomorrow and 9 people came, that's fine too. And finding that balance of extremities to make it balance, not like something that's confusing, is something we have to talk more about. And so to answer your question in a very long-winded way, what I would say to that person is break it down, get simpler. Tune out the noise. Most of all, tune out your own noise against yourself. Everybody else is gonna have judgment on you. You need to be your number one fan for real, not kidding. And I will remind you, no matter who the you look up to, they suck at a lot of things too.